the Spirit of God you can drink of. Are you hearing me? And that's what changes you. See, this is what happens. We get to come in the church. We get into our habits. We get into our ruts. And we don't change. We change our clothes on Sunday. We might look different hairstyles. We may look good, whatever. But we're not changing. Are you following me? God wants to change you because he knows this. If you stay stationary, you become stagnant. How many of you have ever been stagnant before?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled In His Image. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. However, sin has distorted that image. Now in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed more into the likeness of our Savior as we yield ourselves to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Whose image do you reflect? I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 5 of In His Image.
God can change us. There's no doubt about it. God can change the worst of sinners. There's no person that is beyond redemption. Every person can be redeemed. Every person has the ability, they can receive Christ. I believe that truly with all my heart. I don't care who you are, you can receive Jesus. If you can receive Jesus and be born again, then God can change you. And if God has the power to save you and change you, he has the power to keep on changing you. The biggest hindrance we face to being transformed into the likeness of Christ is right here, our flesh, our own self, amen? My flesh is what hinders me the most. Are you okay with, as a follower of Jesus, staying where you are, and let's take a state of neutrality, or just a state of being positioned in the same place over the same amount of time? Just kind of in your relationship with God. Because I believe your relationship with God should be progressing, right? I think it should be moving forward. And so, but listen, if you are okay with a state of just kind of being neutral, and you're comfortable with that, I would question that. Why would we get comfortable with ourselves? God has so much more. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm struggling with this question myself. I've been praying all since the first year, God, I need to change. I know I need to change. There are certain areas in my life that I need to change personally. And God, I know you want to change me, but where do you want to change me, and how do you want to change me? The second part of that was this. I know that my church, we collectively, we need to change. But I needed to look in the mirror first and say, I need to change first. Because if I'm their pastor, how in the world are they going to change unless I change? You can't just have somebody stand up on the pulpit and say, you need to change. You need to do this, you need to do that, unless the preacher himself is willing to change and say, you know what, I need to change. That not only in our church services, but in our atmosphere of our church, there's God wants to do some changes. How? And I don't understand. I just want them to take place. I am grateful from where we came from and where we are, but I'm more expected of where we're going. Does that make sense? But I know this, we got to get to that place, and you got to get to that place, and I got to get to that place, and we've got to get to that place. Why do we got to change, and why do we have to transform? Because that world out there is changing, and you can't stop it. You can complain about it, you can argue about it, you can debate, you can side with this group, you can side with that group, ain't going to change a thing. This world is changing, and if we don't meet needs within that changing world, and present Christ in a way where you don't have to water it down, and you don't, but you just have to be able to interject truth. You just have to be able to interject Christ. And how in the world, this world is going to pass us on by, and a church will die and shrivel away. It will just be a flash in the pan. And I'm just saying, we've got to, not only for ourselves, but for our community. Don't you love your community? I believe God's placed us here strategically. Some of you were born here. Some of you were placed here. But you're all here for a reason, and that reason is to reach people, not to sit on a pew and not to do anything else, but really reach people. But, you know, I don't understand why that's not in our hearts, because, listen, Jesus saved me. He saved you. He's changing me, and thank God he has changed me. And I want those other people to experience that same life change. Are you with me? Man, don't you want people to experience the glory of God, the presence of God, the goodness of God? You know, Brother Wayne, think about where you're at right now. Where would you be without Jesus? Where would you be when life happens? Where would you be? Man, those are people who desperately need Jesus. Here's the question that really comes down to it, and I'll start to preach now. Are you thirsty for God? See, if you don't want God, if you don't want God to change you, He won't change you. That's fine. You'll be fine right where you're at. You'll see this throughout the Old Testament with Israel. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." Everyone say new thing. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And I will even make," look at this, "a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." God's given us an illustration here. The illustration is barrenness. The illustration is a landscape that is barren, a landscape that is without life, a landscape that is without water. The picture is the physical picture. That's the image that God's trying to capture. But it's not a physical representation. Israel was not a, he was not saying that your land is barren and dry. He's saying this, this is you spiritually. But he was wanting them to understand that the picture that he was giving them was barrenness was because of they were spiritually barren. They were not fertile. There was not a fertileness in their lives. Look, Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 through 4. "And I will pour water on him who is," what? "Thirsty." That's the want to. If you want water, for me, right there it is. All you gotta do is take a drink. "Pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on dry ground." Look, here it is. And this is why you also know it's something spiritual. "I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses." And listen, that promise was made before Christ. We are walking in high cotton right now. We are walking in those promises. If you are thirsty, you can have a drink. Now listen, now you say, now what does all that have to do with what you just said? The Spirit of God you can drink of. Are you hearing me? And that's what changes you. See, this is what happens. We get to come in the church. We get into our habits. We get into our ruts. And we don't change. We change our clothes on Sunday. We might look different hairstyles. We may look good, whatever. But we're not changing. Are you following me? God wants to change you because he knows this. If you stay stagnant, stationary, you become stagnant. How many of you have ever been stagnant before? Oh, that's never a good place to be. Now, the good news about barrenness is this. It makes you thirsty because that's what God will do. He will dry you out. He said, that's fine. You want to go on by yourself and just try to do it on your own? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and just try to do this on your own. And you'll get drier and drier and more barren. But listen, the drink is right there. It's always available. If you're born again, it's always available. You just got to want it. You just got to want to drink. You know, when there's a barrenness, there is just an atmosphere it creates, and it has an effect. Are you following me? But when there's life, when there's water, when there's health, man, there's a change that takes place. Again, God says through Isaiah, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty." Are you thirsty spiritually? John chapter 7, verse 37. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and," what? "Drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Again, he who thirsts, he who drinks. You know, there, when Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan, the context was the same thing. It wasn't just have a drink to her he was talking about, a sip. That sip's going to change you forever. That's not what it was in the context of continually drinking. You must continually drink of the God's Spirit. Because if you don't, you will become barren and you will become dry. If I'll change, if you'll change, if we'll transform, then this church will transform. But even in that group, if any portion of them, a quarter of them, get dry and stagnant, it also affects the environment. So you can get a handful of people in a group like this that are on fire for God, thirsty for God, hungry for God, and can change the church. Or you can get that same group, and it can make that church barren. There are some people that look at a worship service as simply for Christians and only Christians. And then therefore we create an environment that is only conducive for us, what we desire, what we like. It doesn't matter if it's old or new. I want whoever comes through those doors, who God brings me, for them to have a connection to Christ, no matter what their style is. I don't ever want to be a club that says an exclusive, that we only accept these people, you must worship this way. I don't want that. Modern, old, I don't care about that. All I want is this: have we created an environment where someone can receive Jesus and be changed? Because if not, then we've got too much selfishness. See, I don't think that church is just for Christians. Because listen, Paul said this: if unbelievers come into your meeting in the context of spiritual gifts and you are abusing them, they're going to say that you're out of your minds. So that tells me that even in those days, that the worship service was a place where unbelievers would come in. When they walk into those doors, because they will, what environment have we created? Have we created an environment where they can be transformed? Have we created an environment where they can be healed? Have we created an environment where people can be restored? Have we created an environment where people have joy? Or have we created an environment that feels like nails on a chalkboard? Who creates that environment? The pastor? No. He's part of it. So we collectively create this environment. If worship is what I call bad, it's bad because we made it bad. You could have the greatest music and it'd be the worst worship ever. Or you can have the worst music and it can be the greatest worship ever. It all is determined by your attitude. It's all determined by this: I came to worship God in spite of anything else. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him praise. You can only take care of that space that you're in. But if you will worship God in that space, in accordance to what he has done in your life and what he wants to do in your life, then listen, I'm telling you, you create an environment of hope. You create an environment of faith. You create an environment of praise. Are you hearing me? And that environment, God fills with glory. Have you ever seen someone, the glory of God, just shine on their face? Because you know God was pouring out his spirit on them. God was visiting them in a special way. I don't know about you, but I've seen people have literally radiated with the glory of God. And it was only simply because of this. They were hungry for God. Hungry for him. And they thirsted for him. And they went after him. And God poured himself upon them. Now listen, I'm not saying that we need to live every day of our lives in that capacity. But I am saying this: if you're thirsty, you need a drink. Does that have a hindrance on a worship service? Absolutely it does. If Jesus walked into Nazareth, his hometown, and he wasn't able to do very many miracles there. Why? Because the atmosphere, the environment. If Jesus walking into his hometown couldn't do many miracles, who are we? It's kind of like the old sinner's adage. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not changing, and it's not hurting anyone. Yes, it is. First of all, it's hurting you. And second of all, it's hurting this church. And third, it's hurting everyone else in this community. See, it's only about you till you get saved. And then it's about others. It's about others. It's not about you. It's about your family. It's about your friends. It's about your person that lives down the street, your neighbor. Whoever drinks signifies a continual act of drinking, spiritual life.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the Word of God. I want to encourage you to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to transform your inner being, reflecting more the likeness of Christ. The world needs to see a church that more reflects the image of its Savior rather than itself. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, I pray God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.